Okay, the question we'll discuss today is, we'll start off with, if a person is not fasting this year, if a person, for whatever reason, is not fasting, does he have to make Havdalah before he eats? And when should he make Havdalah? Let's say we have a person, doctor's orders, you may not fast under any condition. Your health does not allow, your matzav does not allow you to fast. A doctor's orders, you have to eat on Tisha B'Av. So the question is, okay, I eat on Tisha, so when do we make Havdalah? Do you make Havdalah, eat, and then make Havdalah with the rest of Klal Yisrael after Tisha B'Av is over, or do you make Havdalah before you eat? So I will tell you basically, okay, then the next question, when are you eating? Are you eating, when are you going to break your fast? Are you going to break your fast at night, or are you going to break your fast in the morning after Mincha? So the doctor says you can fast at night, you can fast breakfast. 1 o'clock, I want you to eat. I want you to eat at 1 o'clock. Until then, it's safe for you to fast. So when do you make Havdalah? 1 o'clock before you eat lunch? Or do you make Havdalah? No, you don't make Havdalah altogether. Make Havdalah with everyone else, Mitzoy Tisha B'Av, Sunday night. Or maybe, I'll tell you something wild, if you're going to eat already at 1 o'clock, I'm going to, in a way, break my fast. Maybe I should make Havdalah Mitzoy Shabbos. So what? So you'll drink the wine. Anyway, you're not planning on fasting the whole day. And so I'll tell you two ways. Either maybe drink the wine in a chanami, or give the wine, make Havdalah, and give the wine to a child to drink. Or drink beer, right? Chamar Medina, you don't want to drink on Tisha B'Av wine. Isn't that a separate what to make Havdalah on? Next question. What I mentioned to you is regard to a person who is an adult who, for whatever reason, the doctor does not allow to fast. What about a child? A child before Bar Mitzvah who's not going to fast the entire day. Does the child have to make Havdalah, or should the child hear Havdalah before he eats on Tisha B'Av? So let me tell you first the halacha l'maisa, and then we'll discuss the lumdus. Halacha l'maisa is very important to be aware of. This is a difference between a child and an adult. A child does not. I think you'll find me a million opinions all over the place. I know everything is a machlokes, but this is the bottom line. This is clearly the consensus of the poskim that we are all familiar with. The bottom line is halacha l'maisa. A child does not make Havdalah. A child is under bar mitzvah, and the child's going to eat. He eats whenever he wants. Whenever he eats. There's no Havdalah for children. When will the child hear Havdalah? Mitzoy Tisha B'Av, like everyone else. Mitzoy Tisha B'Av, Sunday night, after when the time to break the fast, they make Havdalah at home and shul, whatever. That's when the child will make Havdalah. An adult who is not fasting, he makes Havdalah the moment before he breaks his fast. If he is breaking his fast at 1 o'clock in the day, that is when he makes Havdalah. If he's breaking his fast at night, Mitzoy Shabbos, at 10:30, so that's when he makes Havdalah. If he's breaking his fast for breakfast, so he makes Havdalah before he eats breakfast. The moment before he breaks his fast, l'halacha l'maisa, is the moment when the adult should recite Havdalah. When you make Havdalah on Tisha B'Av, you don't say the psukim. Hinei kel Yeshua siyeftach v'lo yefchad ki ozev zimroskav v'ahil Yeshua. You do not recite those psukim when you make Havdalah on Tisha B'Av. It's not appropriate to say la Yehudim ha'isa oira v'simcha v'sasan kein tiyalana. You don't say that on Tisha B'Av. You start with boirei pri hagafen. What about Mitzoy Tisha B'Av? Do you say the psukim, or do you start with Bari Pri Agafen? It's machlokes ha'poskim. Some do, some do not. He writes there, Yaakov Kamenetsky was of the opinion that you should say those psukim. When you make Havdalah Mitzoy Tisha B'Av, you should say like you say Mitzoy Shabbos, Hinei Kel Yeshua Si Eftach V'lo Yevchad Ki Oziv Zimoska. You should say the psukim. I can't speak for everyone. I've not been all that around, but my impression is that that's not the common minhag. My impression is the common minhag is that Mitzoy Tisha B'Av, you do not say the psukim, you do not say Hinei Kel Yeshua, so you start with Savri, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kehim L'Cholam, Baruch Pri Agafen. That appears to be the standard minhag, but you should be aware that not everyone holds that as correct. That could be people made it up on their own. It's not the end of the world if Mitzoy Tisha B'Av, you say psukim of Simcha, You start with Hinei Kel Yeshua Siyavtach. No. Because that's a Havdalah for Yom Tov. That's a Yom Tov Tikkah Havdalah. Even though Yom Kippur is like a Shabbos, but you don't say that. That's not that you don't do. That you don't do. Okay, so this is something to be aware of. But when you make it on Tisha B'Av, it's clear as day you don't say Hinei Kel Yeshua. See, because Tisha B'Av is not a day when you say a Pasuk of La Yehudim, Haisa Oira, V'Simcha. Don't mix up your holidays. Doesn't belong there. Again, so the bottom line, a child, there is no Havdalah period. An adult, you make Havdalah the moment before. Now, what's the lumbus? Here we go. It's very, very interesting. A child, there is no Havdalah because a child, the MS, should be fasting. The only reason why the child is fasting is chinuch. It's chinuch. So the child fasts. But we look at the child as if the child is an adult. We don't look at a child who breaks his fast as if he's a choyla. We don't look, oh, you're doing the wrong thing. We look at the child is observing Tisha B'Av. When Tisha B'Av is chala on Shabbos, the proper zman to make Havdalah is Mitzoy Tisha B'Av Sunday night. That's what you're supposed to do. So the child is observing Tisha B'Av. He's eating. In our eyes, he never ate. He ate, okay, because he has to break the fast, because he's a child. He's only doing things in mitzat chinuch. He's only fasting. But at BMS, we treat a child like an adult who's doing everything kedas uchedin. And the fact that he ate, that's just a side thing. He ate because he has to eat, because he's a child. Therefore, the same way an adult, when he will become an adult, when he will very soon become a bar mitzvah, become an adult, he will, of course, make Havdalah on the Mitzvah Shabbos. He's not going to make Havdalah in the middle of the week. So as chinuch, you're mechanichin. That's what you do. It's Tisha B'Av. We're training you. You're in training mode. Here is a Tisha B'Av Shechal Yais B'Shabbos. What are the halachas? You make Havdalah at night and you fast during the day. That's the impression you want to put upon a child. Oh, but I'm eating. Okay, so you're eating, that's a side issue, technical issue that you're eating. An adult, he's breaking his fast. An adult, we have to be more, it's not a matter of training. Because who says, there's no chinuch by an adult. It's following the letter of the law. You're not allowed to eat until you make havdalah. This is a takana chazal made. You're not allowed to eat until you make havdalah. So therefore, I'm not training you. You know what you're supposed to do. And next year, hopefully, you'll be back on track. But this year, you're going to eat. So you got to follow the laws. There's no chinuch for an adult. We look at you right now. You're breaking the rules. You have to make havdalah before you eat. Now, there are poskim that say a fascinating chiddush. And they say as follows. If you know in advance, if your plan is, I'm going to eat tomorrow lunch, 1 o'clock. You had a discussion with your doctor, with your rabbi, a consultation together, a conference call, and the maskana is that this fellow has to eat lunch. He's going to fast at night, fast for breakfast. After kinnis, after mincha, he's going to come home, and he's going to eat lunch. So there are those poskim that have a very powerful argument. Since anyway you will be making havdalah on Tisha B'Av, because you cannot eat until you make havdalah, mm-hmm. So you might as well make the Havdalah in the proper Zman. For us, who are fasting the entire day, we're anyway not going to be making Havdalah until the next day. So we already blew it. We blew it already. The day you're supposed to make Havdalah on Mitzoy Shabbos, Sunday. If you're fasting, you're not making it Sunday. You're making it Monday. All right, so you missed the boat. There's nothing that we can do. But a person who is fasting, a person who is not fasting, and anyway he's going to make Havdalah on Sunday, on the proper Zman, so anyway you're not having the shleimus of an entire fast day, it would be better for you to make the Havdalah Motzoi Shabbos. And what about drinking the wine? Maybe. Anyway, I'm not going to fast, so I'll start not fasting. You don't do that. If you're not going to fast, you're not fasting for hours. But Havdalah might be an exception. So it would not necessarily be the worst thing in the world. If I'm anyway going to break my fast tomorrow at 1 o'clock, it wouldn't be the end of the world to mekayim the mitzvah midrabban, to make Havdalah, alakos, and drink. Now, what should you drink? Can you drink wine? L'chadchila not. Wine, intoxicating wine that's alcoholic, definitely not. That's not a good thing to do on Tisha B'Av because yayin is aser. You could drink tea, coffee, chamar, medina. And really, many people say the best thing, chamar, medina, is grape juice. Grape juice is not l'halacha called yayin with regard to the prohibition. According to the letter of the law, the prohibition of drinking wine during the 9 days. We don't drink grape juice, don't get carried away. We don't drink grape juice during the 9 days unless a doctor tells you how to drink for your health, your heart, whatever it is. But yayin, grape juice is a very funny type of liquid. We make a boire pri agafen, we make an al hagefen, but yet grape juice is not really called yayin. The full-fledged yayin, it's not called. And many want to argue that during the 9 days where there's a prohibition to drink yayin, and there are two reasons. Number one, it's simcha. Yayin yisamach levav enosh. Number two, in the Beis HaMikdash, they poured nisachim. They only poured alcoholic beverage on the mizbeach. The yayin had to be at least begin to ferment. I don't know if it actually was turned into alcohol that reached that stage, but it wasn't pure grape juice. Our grape juice that you buy kedem grape juice is not fit for nisachim on the mizbeach. It's not fit because it was pasteurized and you destroyed its potential to turn into alcohol. It's been destroyed. That potential has been obliterated through the pasteurization process. Therefore, the grape juice that's sold in the market today is not fit for nisachim. If it's not fit for nisachim, and also grape juice does not give you simcha. I'm sorry, drinking grape juice today is not going to give you any less simcha than drinking Coca-Cola. It's not going to make a difference. If it's yayin, it's alcohol that affects the mind, then there is simcha. Grape juice does not provide simcha. So many argue that there really should be no prohibition whatsoever to drink grape juice during the 9 days. Oh, you'll tell me, you make a bar pri agafen? No, so you make a bar pri agafen. That's a separate concept, separate halacha. You make a bar pri agafen, you make alagafen, but it's not giving you simcha. It's not something that was fit to use on the mizbech for the nesachim. So therefore, really, it should be permitted. We don't go so far. We do not go that far to allow people to drink grape juice during the 9 days. But for Havdalah, that's a different story. That already, many Paiskim say, it's good. Don't use wine for Havdalah. Use grape juice for Havdalah. Or use Chamar Medina. Grape juice, in fact, probably is better than using beer. Because beer, it's alcohol. It can cause you, it can give you a simcha. Okay, and in fact, there are some places that want to learn. It's a very chiddush to say such a thing. Is that the only chamar medina today? Is a chiddush. I never heard something like this. The only true chamar medina is grape juice. Is Coca-Cola chamar medina? Not really, right? Is Snapple chamar medina? Is tea and coffee chamar medina? So we assume yes, but it's not so simple. It should really be called chamar medina. Grape juice appears to be, the place is the ultimate chamar medina. So if you have to make havdalah and you want to be yoytze chamar medina and you don't want to drink yayin, the best thing is grape juice. So if a person is fasting, is going to break his fast at 1 o'clock lunch, so there is a very strong argument to be made that he should make havdalah mutsoi Shabbos on grape juice or chamar medina. Or the best thing would be to give it to a child. Now, I don't know what's the best thing, to give it to a child. That's not a good idea, even because a child, you're not supposed to mechanech a child on Tisha B'Av by giving him to drink from the yayin. So it's not really the best thing either. I told you this is all lumdus. Halacha lemaisa. I told you, halacha lemaisa, we don't do this. Halacha lemaisa, we don't make, you make havdalah the moment before you eat. If you're knocking until 1 o'clock, that's when you eat. Everything that I told you is just lumdus. It's a beautiful lumdus shaila, but it's not really a practical halacha lemais. It's not accepted. Why? I guess it seems strange. It seems strange. You're going to go and you're going to make havdalah and you're going to drink yayin mitzvah Shabbos, and then you're going to continue fasting until 1 o'clock and then eat. It doesn't sit well in a person's mind, even though in Lomdis, it's a much better solution. It's much better in the world of halacha than it is than making havdalah tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. But we don't do that. We make havdalah a moment. People first who needs to break his fast makes havdalah a moment before he breaks fast. You had a question?
Yeah. That's if you have to drink or to take medicine, you get dehydrated. You have to make havdalah. You just want to drink water just to take medicine or you dehydrate. Sometimes
So water, you don't. Water, there's a general rule. Water, you do not need to make havdalah before you drink water. And Mitzvah Shabbos, if you come home Mitzvah Shabbos and your wife, your children are not ready for havdalah, you're very thirsty, l'chatchila, you can drink water. It doesn't matter. Water, you can drink as much water if the way you're going to fast is you're going to fast, but you're only going to drink water throughout the entire day. You do not make havdalah.
Could you get a leader? That's
a side question. Lechatchila, not. That's still called breaking. If you're going to have maloy lugma, if you're going to have a shear, even less than a shear, you're having a shear, then it's not called fasting, 100% like everyone else. It is fasting to a degree, but it's not. Then you should not get aliyah. Lechatchila, you should.
If you have to drink water,
you do not make havdalah. Definitely not. Because havdalah is only a requirement if you eat. If you eat, it's not cool. If you drink water, you do not need to make havdalah. But if you are drinking water, you're still not fasting. That's not called fasting. And therefore, you don't say anenu. And if you already drank the water before anenu, you don't say anenu. You do say nachem, but you don't say anenu. And you lechatchila should not take an aliyah, not shachris and not by mincha. Okay, so this is the lomdis child review. A child, no such thing. There is no such thing as havdalah for a child. Don't even give him to drink. Don't play games and give him. It's also that's not the right thing. It's shulchan aruch. And an adult. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin that an adult makes havdalah the moment before he eats. Next interesting shaila. Let's say a person is breaking his fast mitzvah Shabbos. Doctor's orders. A woman who gave birth, let's say Yoleh, she just gave birth. She gave birth on right before Tisha B'Av or on Tisha B'Av. Doctor says you have to eat even at night. Or let's say a man, question. Are you mechuyev now? You ate, so I ate a little bit. I took a piece of food, whatever it is. Are you mechuyev to eat malava malka? Now, unfortunately, people are not nizer in malava malka the whole year round. But Tisha B'Av, oh, it's very good. Tisha B'Av, why not? Time for new chumras. So I'm not hungry. Normally, everyone knows, it's very important, everyone knows the halacha, that a person is not fasting, just because you're not fasting, you're not allowed to go to have a 9-course meal. Okay? No gourmet meals on Tisha B'Av, no matter what. If you have to eat, you have to eat. But you only eat what is absolutely necessary. V'zehu. Doctor says you must eat, so eat whatever you need to eat. Don't go and have a gourmet meal. That is awesome. So I ate. Doctors say I have to eat. So I'll eat a little bit. I'll nibble on something. I'll take whatever I need to eat. But that's not malav malka. Malav malka is yav lechatchila. You're supposed to wash, eat a kazayis pas, and have a bakovet dikasuda lechvoid eliyo hanavi. Dotes leshabbos to escort the malka. This is a very big thing. It's very fascinating that this year we mevatel entirely the suudas malav malka. See, on Yom Kippur, think about this. It's very interesting that Yom Kippur, what are we mevatel? Shabbos. Isn't it amazing? Shabbos, how could it be we mevatel all the sudos of Shabbos? Bottle out the window. If Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, Shabbos is out the window. Tainug and oinik Shabbos, no sudos, no kiddush. You have to, the inisem es nafsho seichem trumps the mitzvah of oinik Shabbos. What about when Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos? Oh, no, sorry, Tisha B'Av. You're going to have to wait. Shabbos is Shabbos. Afilu kisu'udas shloimai b'shaitai. No collateral damage from Tisha B'Av. There is. There is major collateral damage that comes when Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. And that is, in this year, there's no Milava Malka. That is the carbon. The carbon is the Sudas, it's a Simen Shulchan Aruch. It's a Simen Shulchan Yimuchuyiv to have a Sudas Malka with bread, and even L'chatchila meat, not leftovers, fresh, special. No, who does this thing? Who's so nizer in this today? Special. Oh, what would the doctor say? Another meal. You had Friday night, Shabbos morning with the Kiddush, Shabbos Shuddas. Another meal when Shabbos is over? And Shulchan Aruch is supposed to have pass fresh. Special. He's supposed to light candles. He's supposed to have a tablecloth. He's supposed to sing Zmirois. It's a big thing. Halavai, we should be nizer in this, to do it the right way. And that would force us to attack and control ourselves on Shabbos, not eat too much. So we should have enough space. It should be healthy. We shouldn't gorge ourselves. But Malutus Malka is the collateral damage of Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. An amazing concept. And what is Malava Malka? Dote Sudosa, the Dava Malka, it's Mashiach. What is Tisha B'Av all about? It's the Bias HaMashiach. It's Eliyahu HaNavi, the birth of the latest HaMashiach. How could it be that on the day of the latest HaMashiach, we mevatel the Su'uda of David HaMelech, the source where it all comes from? And Eliyahu HaNavi, who we're hoping should come, he enochi shlechachem eis, Eliyahu HaNavi, lifnei b'yom Hashem. Oh, Eliyahu HaNavi, today is your day, but you know what? Forget about you. We're not going to have a Su'uda for you. It's an amazing thing. The paradox is amazing. But let's say the doctor tells you have to eat at night. So just because the doctor tells you to eat at night, the rabbi tells you, yeah, but don't eat more than you're allowed. Don't eat more than what the doctor says. But maybe now it kicks in the mitzvah of Malava Malka. So this is a very big dilemma amongst the poskim. Over here, he doesn't have a conclusion. There's no, he's not machria. Some say yes, some say not. L'chora, I would imagine if every single week of the year you mak b'nam lava malka, I would imagine then you would follow the poskim that said that you should have, if you're anyway not eating mitzvah Shabbos, the doctor told you have to eat mitzvah Shabbos, so you can eat a little bit more. You can eat a little bit more l'chvoy than lava malka. Yeah, l'chora. I mean, I don't sing. Maybe you don't say it. You would say this, not to sing it. You would say this mirrors. But if the whole year round you nichshol, you don't have Malav Malka, Mistama, it's not the time to start. I would imagine it's not the right day to start having a Sus Malav Malka if the doctor tells you, Mr. Shabbos, you're supposed to eat. Okay, let's talk about sitting on the floor. This is something which we should be aware of. There are three opinions. This is general halacha, not again this year of Mitzvah Shabbos. We'll come back in one moment. You should be aware of this halacha, that there's a minute to sit on the floor on Tisha B'Av. There are three opinions of how to sit on the floor. One opinion is to sit mamish on the floor. No chairs, no nothing, on the floor mamish. Don't advise that you do that. The next opinion is that you have to sit on the ground lower than, I even forgot what the shear is, the certain shear. I forgot what the shear is. I have to find it for you. Lower the on a special low chair that does not exceed a certain height. How many tefachim is it?
Three or four.
Okay, just like in the base oval, there's a shear. Just like Rachmana Litzalalein in the base oval, there's a hakpad, an exact shear of how high you may snatch it. And then, now this is very important. Then there's another opinion that says that on Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Yisrael, it's very important, is not like a base oval. There is no shear. There is no shear. Don't come with a tape measure. I see people come with tape measures to shul sometimes. The tape measure. There is no measurement. You just sit on something lower than usual. Tisha B'Av, the meaning of sitting on a low chair, is not the same halacha that a person in mourning for a loss of a relative who sits on a low chair. There, in Shulchan Aruch, there are exact numbers. There's exact numbers of how low you're supposed to sit. You may not sit a certain height unless you're not well. There are certain health issues that we all know about that prevent us from always being mekayim that minhag. But Tisha B'Av, that's not the way it is. Many poskim are of the opinion that the inyan of sitting on a low chair on Tisha B'Av is just sit on something lower than you ordinarily sit down upon. So therefore, people sit on a windowsill in shul. There are certain things in shul on the steps of the Aron HaKodesh, or they sit, there are things here, things there. And guess what? If you'll take out the measuring, your measuring rod, your measuring tool, you'll discover that you're in a violation of what an ovel is not allowed to do. So what? That there's no requirement that you have to sit below a certain amount. Just sit a little bit lower. Women, now do you have to be nizer in sitting lower at home? At home, like in shul? Not necessarily. You'd be surprised. Look, we are makbid. I think most of the olam today, Bnei Torah, at home, they also sit down on a low chair. They makbid not to sit down. But the truth is, it's not mukhruch that's the original takon of Chazal. It's in Beis HaKnesses. In public gatherings, you sit in a low chair. At home, you don't have to be as makbid as home and sitting in a low chair. Do women have to be makbid? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. To women today, I don't know. I don't go look in the ladies' section. But when I was younger, I remember in the Young Israel, the women did not sit on the floor. Most women in the olden days, when I grew up in the Young Israel, they sat in their chair. They all sat on the chair. That also, that's also an issue of tznius, but I think it was more than tznius. I think it was more of that. It was never, it's not such a severe takana, minok. Like I told you, there's no shear, and at home they're not so makbid on this. And noshim also, does not appear that it was originally meant that noshim should be so makbid. And I remember as a child, in Young Israel, as far as I remember, all the women sat. It was a big thing, Tisha B'Av. People actually came to shul Tisha B'Av at night. It was a big, you know, in Young Israel, by the more modern, it was a big thing. I don't know. And they sat in a regular chair. The men sat. The men sat on the floor, on low chairs. The men, but not the women. Today, my understanding is, no, women today, when they come to shul, they all sit, not all, but ruba de ruba, they all sit on the floor like just like the men do, or they sit on a low chair, whatever, they do the same thing the men do. This seems to be a new development. A new development. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe it was always like this, I don't know. I'm just telling you from my observation, and from what I see in the Svarim is the Hakpada is not, that's also why we're not so makbid, also why you don't sit down on the floor until it's Tzeisak HaChavim. Right, so you stop eating. You have to stop eating on Shabbos. You must stop eating when sunset. But what about sitting on the floor? No. You get off from sitting, you're allowed to sit on a chair all the way until your Shabbos is over. And now, the last thing, which is very interesting, I think it's a very interesting concept, is that taking off your shoes. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramaz is something which today no one does anymore. Today, this whole thing became bottle, and it's very strange why, and I think there's something very, very deep, and everyone is missing the boat. I think we're all missing the boat in what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramaz is perish. Rachmana Litzlan, a Beis Avel. We've all been to a Beis Avel, Mitzvah Shabbos. So what have you observed in the Beis Avel on Mitzvah Shabbos? They start maybe 2 minutes later than they start in shul. Let's say the shul zman is whatever the zman is. Usually 95% of the time they're going to wait until whatever their zman is. If their zman is 50 minutes, they're going to wait until 50 or 60, whatever. And they're not going to start. The ovel will first take off his shoes, change into his weekday clothing, and then, he's put on his garments, which he writes kriya, took off his shoes, and the oil is polite, they wait for him, and he can't do this, the oval cannot do this until Shabbos is mamish over. So in shul, they'll daven a little bit early. In shul, they'll daven, if you wait, like in the Young Israel, we used to wait 50, the Shabbos over 50, so you daven Mara 47. So in the Beis Avel, they would have to wait at least until 50 because the Avel can't take off his shoes and can't put on his weekly clothing. So if they call, let's say, for 50 minutes after Shkia, when Shabbos is mamish over, and you don't start right away, you give the Avelim a chance to change into their weekday clothing. So by the time they come back, it's already 55 minutes, and now Vehu Rachum. Okay, and it's very similar with Yidatim, the Yeshivisha crowds, 60 minutes, 72 minutes, whatever it is, you're not going to start until you give the Avelim a chance to get into the Bidei Chol. They first say, Baruch HaMavdil Bein Kodesh L'chol. They say those words. It's Oy Shabbos. They change the Bidei Chol, and then you begin the Vehu Rachum. Guess what? That's not what it says in the Ramah. The Ramah explicitly says that what you're supposed to do is, you're supposed to say Baruch Hu. Wait, you can wait as long as you want. I'm not sure exactly about the clothing, but wait as long as you want until Shabbos is over, and then you say V'hu Rachum, Yechaper Ovon, V'lo Yashchis V'chulu, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavoyrach, Baruch Hu, and then the Ovel takes off the shoe. It seems from the Ramah there's a hakpada that you don't take off your shoes until you say Baruch. You leave those shoes on. What? He doesn't talk about clothing. I don't know. I don't know if it would be a good idea that you should wait until Oy Shabbos and let the Avel get dressed in the weekday clothing, but keep on their shoes. Keep on their Shabbos shoes. And then say Baruch, and then you take off the shoes. It seems from, and now Yom Kippur, what are we really supposed to do on Tisha? We can't do, Tisha B'Av is dealing with the klal. It's totally impractical to do this, but that's what it's brought down originally that they did. They don't do this anymore, is everyone's in shul, you have your kinnis, you have everything, all your paraphernalia ready to go, and then the shat says Baruch Hu, and after the shat says Baruch Hu, everyone takes off their shoes. It's like a bowling alley. Everyone takes off their shoes. What?
The only one who did it before, when you untied your laces, so you didn't have to touch
your shoes. Get dirty.
And then you kick them off.
You take them off.
Already, that was already a little different. So
obviously, there's something, what I'm trying to bring out, that we don't do this today. Today, in the Beis Avel, everything is before. And it's by Tisha B'Av, it's not practical 100%. Everyone, they daven Meir very late in shul. You're at home, you take off your shoes, your clothing, v'chul, you take your kinnis, you come to shul, you get ready. Well, you make saying Baruch Hu, you're wearing your sneakers. But obviously, there's something that we're missing today. We're missing. And that is, there is something called a Maisa of Chalitzas Hanoal. There is an act of taking off your shoes. It's a very powerful act. And where do you have this in Halacha? By a Yavama. And a Yavama, Chalitza. Chalitza, a very powerful act. In fact, it's almost like the ultimate Avelos. It really fits into the theme of Tisha B'Av. Because what is Chalitza? Of a Yavama. Yavama suffered tragedy. Her husband died. And she has no children. And now she wants to get married. Who's going to marry her? Her brother-in-law. Her brother-in-law is going to rebuild. He's going to rebuild. The whole year we're waiting. And what happens? The brother-in-law says, my sister-in-law, I'm not interested in you. I'm not going to marry you. I'm not going to rebuild my dead brother's home. Too bad. My brother died. Too bad for him. I'm not going to rebuild it. I'm not going to take you. I'm not going to rebuild. So she spits at him. Mechutzif, you don't want to rebuild your brother's home? The Yarka Bifanov, she spits at him. You're good for nothing, Shagits. Really? You're good for nothing, Shagits. And she's mevaza him. She takes off his shoes. She takes off his shoes. You're good for nothing. You don't deserve shoes. She also called Tsarki, you don't deserve it. It's an act of Zion. Tisha B'Av, we are like the Yavama. The whole year we're yearning. Ribbono shel Olam, come back. Rebuild us. We're the Almana. Hoysa ke'almana. What do you say in Eicha? Hoysa ke'almana. We are Shemeres Yavam. Ashemeres Yavam. Ribbono shel Olam, when are you coming to do Yibum? To rebuild. Yibone Beis HaAchiv. Build us up. And now it's the whole year has went by, and guess what? Hashem says to us, I'm not interested in you. You don't meet my qualifications on the Shidduch resume. I'm not interested in you. Therefore, what we basically do is, we don't do it to Hashem, we do a Maisa Chalitza, as if to say, we do a Maisa Chalitza ourselves, as if to say, Chaval, we've lost out. Another year has gone by, and the bias has not been rebuilt. The removing of the shoe is a sacred act. It's an act that you do on Tisha B'Av. You don't do it before Tisha B'Av. You lost out. It's a maisa of frustration. It's a maisa. You have to wait until it's Tisha B'Av to take off the shoes to show the tzar. You have to say Baruch Hu, and then when you say Baruch Hu, then you take it off. It's not a matter that it should be taken off before be taken off. You have to take it off. It's premature to take it off until Tisha B'Av arrives. That's why you're supposed to wear it all the way until it's Tisha B'Av, and you say Baruch Hu. Oh, Tisha B'Av has arrived, and now you take off the shoe. And the same thing is true when it comes to an avelos. Every stam avelos, there's a maisa of taking off the shoe. That's a chelik of the maisa avelos. If you're going to take it off before Shabbos, and now you're going to say Baruch Hu with no shoes, so very good. You're not wearing shoes. You're not in violation. But you've missed out on the richness, on the theme of taking off the shoe. Or if you don't like this very, very dark idea, yeah?
Like you said, if there's a delay,
it's not practical. I know. I told you in the very beginning. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You can wear it. Who says you can't wear it? Some people they actually wear in the street. You only can't wear shoes. They say only when you're only in the street. You can't wear shoes. What?
You can't eat anymore.
You can't eat. That's different. Eating is different. Eating you can't eat. Shoe you should know that some opinions hold that you can wear today. It's not okay because they will be our sneakers are even better than the shoes. Holding is a joke. But it used to be the halacha was you're allowed to wear shoes to go to shul. You're allowed to wear shoes. Only when you're in shul you take off your shoes. Only at home you take off your shoes. But on the street. Sakana, you're going to go walking without shoes, you'll kill yourself. You have to wear shoes in the street. So you can wear shoes. What?
You're supposed to be uncomfortable.
You're supposed to put sand in the shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
You're uncomfortable. There are two dinim in shoes. There's a din in the shoe of being uncomfortable, and then there is, it's technically not allowed to be leather. So there are tzvei din. There are two dinim in shoes. So ideally, you should wear shoes that are very uncomfortable. Either don't wear shoes altogether, work barefoot, or you should wear very uncomfortable sneakers. That is the ideal thing to do. And indeed, many Gedolei Yisrael did that. They do that on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. They don't buy for $300 vegan shoes. Go on Amazon now. They can sell for $300 vegan. Vegan, the whole industry called vegan shoes, vegetarians, vegan shoes. Go look it up on Amazon. There's a whole section, vegan shoes. What?
Lettuce?
People who are makbid not to have leather. Don't animal rights. I mean rachmanis on the animal. The animal has more intelligence than man. Have rachmanis on the animal. Don't use a leather product. So there's something called vegan shoes. It's a multi-million dollar, probably billion dollar industry. And some of those shoes cost a lot more than leather shoes. So are you mekayim the halach of Tisha B'Av? Absolutely. Are you mekayim the theme of Tisha B'Av? Absolutely not. But most of us are not holding on that madrega of worrying about the theme of Tisha B'Av when it comes to your shoes. We have other things that we try to work on. So halacha l'maisa, you're not doing an avera. It's good, it's good. No paisik is going to tell you today, make yourself meshuga and go make sure that your sneakers are not comfortable. Because then when you go and you have to go to the doctor, the podiatrist, and you break your spine because it's all connected, they're going to come blame you. So no one's going to tell you today to go put on uncomfortable sneakers on Tisha B'Av, and especially for adults, the people who are past a certain age. It's not going to happen. Okay, it's not going to happen. But there's no doubt about it that the Gedolei Yisrael, Talmidei Chacham, who are in the know, do not buy the $300 vegan shoes, even if they have the money to buy them. They're buying shmatas. They're buying things which are uncomfortable to get them by, to get them through the day. Canvas?
Kegs.
Kegs, okay. They're pretty comfortable, though, no? They're pretty comfortable.
Okay.
The cracks, yeah, the cracks aren't too comfortable. I don't know.
Whatever.
Okay, so we should understand that the Ramah did not say for nothing. Okay, it wasn't for nothing, the Ramah, everybody say. Please, the Ramah didn't say for nothing that you're supposed to take off your shoes bedafka after you say Baruch. We think we're so smart. We're outsmarting the Ramah. We're ahead of the game. We take it off before. We say Baruch HaMavdil. We take it off before. Put on our sneakers. Now we go to shul. We're not outsmarting the Ramah. The Ramah knew what we're going to do. The Ramah is saying, yeah, you're going to do this. This is what's practical. It's easy, whatever. V'chulu, v'chulu, all the considerations. But we're really losing out on something that's very rich, a very rich concept. That is, you bedafka take them off on Tisha B'Av. Or, let me tell you now, I told you a very, very gloomy drush. You say, Pum Fakert. What's Pum Fakert? Today, Tisha B'Av is the latest HaMashiach. Mashiach is going to come, he's going to sanctify the whole world. He's going to change people's... We don't have no clue what it's going to be like when Mashiach comes. It's going to be a whole new world, a whole new world order. He will bring sanctity into the most remote locations of the world. When Hashem met Moshe, Hashem recruited Moshe, what are the first thing Hashem said to Moshe? Moshe, shal ne'olecha mi'al raglecha ki amokoim asher ato oimecham Admas Kodesh. It's Admas Kodesh. Tisha B'Av is about rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. It's about bringing Kedusha into the world. It's a very holy day. We take off the shoes, bedafka, not only because it's comfortable in Ilas HaSandal. You take off the shoes, midin. Today is the day when we're going to rebuild. Today is the Leidas HaMashiach. Today the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash is being laid. Shal le'olecha mi'al raglecha ki amokoi ma'ashato oimecham. You're in a mikdash ma'at. You're in a Beis HaKnesses. This is a mikdash. The mikdash has been elevated today to bring Mashiach. It's Admas Kodesh. You got to wait until Tisha B'Av to do that. You can't do that before Tisha B'Av. There's so much depth and richness in what it means to take off your shoes. It's not just a convenience. You're playing games. Take it off before this, that, that. There's a time for everything. The time to take off the shoes is after Baruch Hu. It's a chaval that this minug is gone. It's gone totally. It's gone. Tisha B'Av, for sure it's gone. I don't know anyone. I probably not no one that takes off their shoes anymore after they say Baruch Hu. Probably the whole flapush. Try to find me a shul or a rabbi or anyone that takes it off after they say Baruch Hu. And even a base of a Rachmanos Lo Yoleinu, from time immemorial, from the going to a base that I remember from way, way back, no one does it either. They all dive a mile of later and they get dressed and they come in and then they start Baruch Hu when their shoes already have been taken off. But it's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And we think we know the reason for everything, so therefore we outsmart the Shulchan Aruch. But it can't be.
I think they used to do it right down by Rabbi Frankel on his 14th
Street. What does he do?
They used to take off the shoes
after Baruch Hu, Tisha B'Av.
What can we do?
But today you do it? Does anyone here do that today? Anyone in this room here do that today? You do it now also?
I do it.
Oh, you still do it? Okay, Baruch Hashem. You saw. But does anyone else here do it?
I can't remember.
At home.
You didn't go home.
Right. Exactly. But no more. That's a relic of the past. No one does it anymore. We all did that. In the olden days, you were told to bring your sneakers and your kinnis before Shabbos. Problem is today, no one davens in the same shul Friday night that you daven for Shabbos day.
Four shuls,
for sure. Everyone has four shuls. The Friday night, and then the Shabbos day, Mincha, Mitzvah Shabbos, and during the week is another shul. Some people, Monday is one shul, Thursday is another shul.
You don't do that anymore. You're the first time you pay Pesach, because you don't want to say Hallel. You have to go to a different.
Okay, so this is a relic of the past. We're only harming ourselves by not following the... Okay. All right, you know, I see that this is not going to work, so what we're going to do is tomorrow, we're just going to do kinnis straight. Maybe we'll mingle a little halacha. Let's take a very short break. I just want to start a little bit. I won't even give you out the kinnis because it's going to... We'll just...
A very quick question. When is the fast? If the fast is over,
could you take a shave? It's the same in hungry.
No, you can take a shave. The only thing you can't do is you can't eat meat, drink wine, and is a machlokes a poison if you can listen to music.
What about doing the laundry?
Yeah, you can do the laundry. You can do the laundry. You can do the laundry mitzvah Shabbos. You can shave mitzvah Shabbos. Take a haircut mitzvah Shabbos. Yes, yes, you can take what? Sunday night. Sunday night, you can take a haircut. You can take a shave. You can do laundry. You can do laundry. The only thing you cannot do Sunday night is you cannot eat meat. You cannot drink wine. That's absolutely forbidden. Avdolo, that's that grape juice. Grape juice. Grape juice. You do grape juice or beer or Chamar Medina. You do grape juice or Chamar Medina, but don't wine, why not? What about listening to music? This is a machloikes apoiskim. Some hold that you should not, and some say there's really no reason why you can't. It appears the minhag ha'olam is not. Most people do not listen to music. It's not an ikar hadin. Monday, but Monday morning it's totally finished.
Yes.
Finished. Then you can drink meat, wine. Okay. We'll take a short break and then we'll discuss kinnis. Yeah.
If the Shavuot not on Shabbat in the 10th day after noon, we can eat meat.
In the morning. At night in the morning, in the morning.
The 10th day. If we show a shahar, no Shabbat. For them, it is Thursday. On Friday, for example, at noon, we can eat meat.
Can
we say Shabbat that it is 10th is already passed, we cannot eat?
I don't understand. Shavua Shechal Boy? A real year with Shavua Shechal Boy.
On 10th of the Av, at noon, you can eat meat.
You can eat meat, correct.
No, that it is Musay Shabbat, one day.
Even more. You have to wait until the morning of the 11th. That's right. It's Muhammad. 11th, you have to wait until the 11th. That's right.
But the 10th,
it's a fast. It's because it's a fast day.